experience, go to our new website, www.sabcsport.com, for all your breaking news, match data, live games and competitions. Your unscramble tonight is a sports star of note, a well-known name in the sporting world. You have to unscramble the letters Vanity, V-A-N-I-T-Y, as in being vain, Vanity, Had, H-A-D, and then ID, I for India, D for Delta. So Vanity, Had, ID are the letters to unscramble. Tell me who is the sporting star hidden behind those letters. Tonight, we're focusing on cricket. As I said in the first part of the show, unpacking all the issues surrounding cricket, specifically South African cricket, men's and women's. And we'll talk about various matters in that particular sporting code. And then later on, one of our youngest guests, if not the youngest we've ever had on the show, will join us in studio together with his father to talk about his motorbiking exploits and how he's taking the sport by storm. All that and more coming up on the show tonight.
The SAFM University Debate Challenge is back. The University of KwaZulu-Natal will take on the University of Zululand in what promises to be a nail-biting debate. Join us for the one-hour debate on This Week Today with Oliver Dixon from 6 to 7 p.m. on Friday, the 5th of September, 2025. The SAFM University Debate Challenge is an independent, non-partisan, progressive initiative seeking to develop confident communicators, critical thinkers, and empowered global citizens. SAFM, leading the conversations that move us. Gender-based violence is destroying lives and tearing communities apart. It happens in homes, in schools, at workplaces, and too often in silence. But it doesn't have to continue. If you see it, speak out. If you are hurting, reach out. Because doing nothing is not an option. Listen to all 19 SABC radio stations from Wednesday, the 23rd of July for hard talk, discussions, advice, dramas, educational shows and interviews around GBV with experts, survivors, lawmakers and a whole country affected by gender-based violence. All on your favorite SABC radio station. Call 0800-428-428 to report abuse or get help. GBV, it ends with you. This message is brought to you by the SABC. This is the award-winning PBS sports show, Top Sport. Top Sport with Michael Abramson on SAFM.
So just before we go to our cricket interview, just a reminder that on Arthur Ashe Stadium court, it's Ogier Aliassime who has held serve in the seventh game. So it is 6-4 to the Australian Dimino in the first set, and the second set is on serve at the moment. They've both broken once. But it is the Canadian who leads 4-3 with the Australian about to serve there. The quiz question tonight, unscramble the letters in Vanity, Had, ID, I for India, D for Delta, Vanity, Had, ID, and tell me who is the sporting star hidden behind those letters. Right now, let's talk cricket. We haven't had a cricket chat for some time. Plenty happening in the cricketing world. And on the show, we have some of the best cricket correspondents you could ever wish to find. One of them is our guest tonight, Kevin Rademeyer, good friend and colleague and a huge friend of the show. Kevin, great to have you back on the show. Good evening.
Oh, good evening, Michael, and thank you to you and the listeners.
So, Kevin, lots to talk about. I don't know whether we should start with the men or the women. So let's start with the news that's the most topical and the women's squad that was announced for that World Cup coming up in the next few weeks. And a pretty strong squad by the looks of things. Any surprises for you in the squad that was announced?
I don't think there's many surprises. It was announced this morning, obviously, at Cricket South Africa's offices. There were a couple of omissions from people who were in the squad. Dane Funeka being number one, but we knew a couple of days ago that she was not going to be included. Naidu, Goodall, Tuncliffe, and Kluby, probably the ones that are going to be most disappointed. But otherwise, a very strong squad. Girls with a lot and women with a lot of experience. Two players that haven't got any World Cup experience whatsoever, which I'm sure we'll talk about. That is Meso, the wicketkeeper, who's only 17 years of age, as well as the off-spinner Shangasi, who will play a pivotal role. And then three players who don't have any ODI World Cup experience, being Anika Bosch, De Klerk, and Dixon. So 5 of the 15 do not have any experience in an ODI World Cup, but no surprises. This has been very consistent selections for quite a while now, even under the new coach.
Now, our women's team has done particularly well in various formats in recent global competitions. They've certainly got the experience. Three of them have just returned from the hundreds, including captain Laura Wolfart. She had a decent tournament as well. Marizane Cup's done well. Annerie Dirksen, whom we interviewed, of course, together with yourself and Ken Borland at that CSA Awards dinner not so long ago. They are players who are making strides around the world. It seems if South African players, particularly our women players, are in demand wherever leagues are played around the world.
I think our women and our men are in demand. I would have liked a couple more to go out of the 15. But we also see, and we'll probably get to that a bit late in terms of the men, that sometimes playing in these 100 competitions just before a ODI, which is very different these days, playing 50 overs compared to 20 overs, in a lot of ways it has some negativity. And we saw England yesterday, and like I said, we will get into that, only lasted 24 overs. So it is two different kinds of competitions. So maybe it's a blessing in disguise that only three of them went over and the rest has been in camp getting great preparation. Even Coach Mashimbi, who's taking the team to his first big tournament now, said the journey's been absolutely amazing, great preparation. He's chosen a squad for the conditions, and he's very comfortable that even though we've won 40% of the last 10 ODI games, he's confident that we have the team for all conditions there in India and Sri Lanka.
You mentioned about all conditions. We know it's been boiling hot in that part of the world of late, as we, I suppose, move into a northern hemisphere autumn. Things might cool down a little bit, but our players are experienced in terms of travel. For the bulk of them have traveled all around the world. They've played in many different conditions. So I'm sure that the conditions won't necessarily faze them. And they seem to be, as you've said, strong in all departments. Our batting looks pretty strong. We've got all-rounders. We've got powerful hitters, somebody like Chloe Tryon down the order. A good depth in the bowling department with different types of bowlers in the squad. It looks a very well-balanced squad on paper.
Is a very well-balanced squad. I think let's first get into the conditions, because you bring up something that's vital and that's always been critical in any World Cup. And they are playing from the 30th of September to the 2nd of November. Average temperatures in Mumbai itself, where the final will be played, is between 23 and 32 in that time. Very dry season. It's just after the monsoons, which means the pitches will probably turn quite a lot as well. The players are also playing on the smaller field, so it's not many of the same fields that we see the men playing on. But sometimes that is a positive, sometimes it's a negative, because the players don't really know what to expect immediately. They played two matches in Colombo itself, one against Sri Lanka, which is going to be extremely tricky. And then the second one, they're playing against Pakistan in Colombo as well before returning to India. So it's two different kinds of challenges. Me and you were at the launch yesterday, which I'm sure we will speak about the domestic, where we spoke to some of the women administrators that were there, and even the women that last time they were in Sri Lanka, so many of them got sick, they couldn't even put a complete team in because of the water, because of the heat. And these are the challenges that are against any professional team. In saying that, and I will answer your question, you're 100% correct, Michael. People like Chloe Tryon, Sunailus, Cup, Dirksen and Nadine Clark, those all-rounders are going to play a pivotal role, especially the spinners in Luce and Tryon. We're probably going to play 30 overs of spin, maybe even more on those. And that's when those two are going to have to play a vital, vital role.
I'm very, very glad, by the way, just totally off the point, that you say that there are going to be matches played in Colombo, the capital. I'm glad you used that name and not the other official name for the capital, which is Sri Jayawardena Purakota. But we'll leave it at that. It's always a tricky question when somebody asks in a quiz question, what's the capital of Sri Lanka? And most people say Colombo, and it's now changed officially, apparently, to that incredible name that took longer than the England innings took yesterday to say. But just one more thing on the women before we switch to the men. Dane van Niekerk, obviously she's been missing the game a lot. We know what happened to her. She went through all sorts of mental trials and tribulations in her own mind, has decided she's missing it too much, wants to come back. She's not part of this particular World Cup squad, but she's thrown her lot in, again, with women's cricket. She provides a lot of experience. But in your experience, Kevin, how difficult is it going to be for her to get back to the level level that she was at, because even though she's been playing a bit, she hasn't been playing at the same level that she was when she announced her retirement.
It's always difficult to say that. She's a world-class athlete, probably one of the best in the world. Contributes with the bat and the ball, but she's been out for a while, and the game has moved on in the last year.
Yeah.
It's moved on in the last decade, actually. I was looking at stats today in terms of previous World Cups. And just to give your listeners some stats even, in 2005, when the World Cup, the same Women's World Cup was here, and they played the final in Centurion, scores of 140, 150 were fine. England won with 167. In 2015, 2005 was the winning score. The year before, 184 was the winning score. In the last World Cup, in 2022, the winning score was 356 by Australia,
Who
they scored over England. So the game has moved on and become very professional. Like you say, the players are now playing in the 100 series, then they're playing in the Big Bash, and they're playing international. I have no doubt that she will come back, and she'll come back strong if she has the desire. I'm glad they didn't put her into the World Cup squad. I think that would have created a bit of distrust amongst the players who have been playing around the world.
Yep.
It's almost like an A-B situation at one of the previous World Cups as well. She needs to come. She needs to show that she can do it at domestic level and then probably at international level before getting to World Cups. But, I mean, that woman is talented. So I have no doubt if she wants to. As much as A.B. de Villiers, if he wanted to come back into the SA20 and that level, I'm sure he could do that as well.
Especially with all the waves he's made recently around the world in those Champions games, effectively. But we'll talk about that another day. Let's switch to the men now. Just looking at yesterday's performance at Headingley, very impressive from the South Africans. Do you think England were a bit undercooked, and South Africa, having won their series in Australia in very, very tough conditions, went in a lot more mentally prepared and caught England unawares?
Not only were they undercooked, I don't think they were cooked at all.
They didn't have Alistair Cook at their side anymore.
All right.
There you go.
Now you're correct, Michael. And like I said earlier, they've all been playing in this 100, which is, I think, a great tournament in England itself. But they didn't even have a practice. They didn't get together. They had one optional practice, which some of the players pitched up to, and some of them didn't. Whereas, like you said, South Africa's come from a very difficult ODI and T20 series from Australia, playing a quality team, being victorious, being put together, and understanding the difference between T20 cricket and ODI cricket. And once again, like we're talking about, the women's game has changed so much over the last couple of years. There's been a big distinction between T20 cricket and ODI cricket now as well. The way you have to apply yourself, the way you mentally have to prepare yourself through an innings, the way you play spin. Very few of the teams are actually batting 50 overs now, which is so surprising.
Mm.
The 100 definitely has had an impact, and they were undercooked, where South Africa had all the preparation under Shukri Conrad, which keeps proving the critics. One of them previously was myself wrong. And I think creating a squad of 25 to 35 players, which you will eventually choose for the World Cup in 2027 in South Africa.
South Africa, of course, can win that series tomorrow at Lord's, and it should be a fitting situation for them. Just looking at the way that the squad performed, Aidan Markram, he was due a score in ODIs, and he performed brilliantly. I mean, when he's going like that, he's pretty much unstoppable. Shukri Conrad has thrown in his lot with Markram and Rickleton at the top of the order to open in various formats, and they seem to be doing the job. Also, Keshav Maharaj seems to be just getting better and better with age, like a fine wine.
Let's start with Markram first, 100%. We've had some positive discussions about him here, many negative discussions. Once again, another player who has stood up at crucial times, brilliant man, also very relaxed, and actually scored the quickest 50 by an opener for South Africa yesterday. He scored his 50, I believe, in 23 balls, if I'm correct. Outstanding opening partnership between him and Rickleton. In the first 50, they got their 50 in 5.2 overs, if I'm correct. The 100 came up in 15.3 overs, and the partnership was only broken in the 18th over. By that time, the match was over. It was already 121.
Mm.
So those two put England to the sword. like you said, the damage was done by Maharaj earlier after Brook was run out in comical way, as well as a brilliant catch to get rid of Jamie Smith. Their innings just collapsed England. But Maharaj had to put in the hard work. It still had to be completed, and he got rid of them, which set up quite an easy victory. The whole match lasted only 44 overs. That puts it in context for you of how underprepared they were. It'll be a lot harder tomorrow. The Zorz is out with an injury, which means the team's also going to be reshuffled. Still doubt whether Rabada will come back. Yusuf has been flown over there. But what an occasion, like you say, to go back to Lords and relive a couple of months ago.
Yeah, yesterday was the day-night game, but they only played the day part. They didn't forget to the night part. Instead, you alluded to the fielding. I mean, Bosch on the boundary, an outstanding catch. Great catch also by Rickleton behind the stumps as well. South Africa were absolutely at the top of their game and performing incredibly well. And if they can win this series, it's a really statement win, to win in England and to win in Australia, pretty much back-to-back. Kevin, we're running out of time, so I just want to get to one or two more issues very quickly. South African A side, I mean, they're busy playing at the moment. There's so much cricket going on that you've just got to have eyes at the back of your head to keep up to date with all of it. But another young star in Herman, making giant strides as far as that's concerned. He looks to be in top form, and South Africa just seems to be able to unearth these young players day in and day out who are performing so well.
And SAA cricket is extremely important. We heard yesterday, both me and you were speaking to Edward Causa, who have come to say, number one, domestic cricket should be the backbone of a whole structure. And number two, that they are actively going out there to do more series in terms of SAA. So not only the elite guys get the opportunity, but the Ruben Hermans, his brother, all these other ones that are on the fringes are given the opportunity to play exceptional games against quality sides and really test their mettle. We saw Ruben Hermans score 100 in quick time in the first ODI against New Zealand A. Second match, he did it again with his brother, had an exceptional partnership. He scored another 100. Today they lost, but they scored over 300. So it is helping us. That's what we need. The off-season of domestic cricket is extremely long. They admitted that yesterday at the launch. It's too long. Guys are inactive, so they need SAA games. They need other ways for the fringe players to be able to get that experience, because nothing replicates match practice.
100%. Just a final question. You and I were both at the launch yesterday. Lots happening. Quite an exciting season we can look forward to. Unfortunately, no home tests, which I suppose is the big bugbear. But there's a series at home against a white ball series against West Indies, and South Africa are traveling a lot over the course of the summer, our various teams. And as we said, the Women's World Cup as well. Just what did you make of the launch yesterday, and how excited are you about the season ahead?
I've always loved domestic cricket. I know you've grown up with domestic cricket. It's where we see all the young guys coming through. So before all the fans get on board, before the world goes crazy at IPL level, we get to see them develop. We get to see them on a small stage. It was an excellent launch against. Once again, I can't praise Cricket South Africa enough for all the bad reputations they get and for all the bad publicity in the past. They've really improved it. They look after the media. They look after the youngsters. There was probably 60, 70 KFC kids yesterday who got to interact with all the provincial captains, with the media, with all the Cricket South Africa people. And they love it. It's a part of a dance competition, which is going to launch for CSA T20 Challenge. There was a braai, which is the central theme of the one-day cup that's coming up. There was a bowl-a-thon with all the players. Music, the Hollywood bet dancers were there, their trophies were on display. It was a brilliant launch. People need to go and support the domestic cricket. We can't just wait for South Africa to play at international level. We can't just wait for the World Cup. The women cricketers who have now started the Pro Series, also Hollywood Bets Pro Series, they need your support. The men need your support in domestic. And Don't be a hanger on only when they make it. Let's support them at grassroots level and at domestic level.
Beautifully put, as always. Kevin Rademacher, great to have you on the show. It's always a pleasure to chat to you. Thanks again for all your support, and We look forward to catching up soon with some interesting cricket initiatives we're going to have on the show going forward. So I'm sure you'll be a very, very big part of that. Enjoy the cricket tomorrow at Lord's. Let's hope South Africa wrap up the series and beat England on the back of beating Australia in the ODI series as well. Thanks so much for your time. We'll chat soon.
Thank you very much, Michael. I appreciate it.